This is the West Coast Project podcast for Orange is the New Black. It's our new attempt at this new show, and we're going to do season two. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
Hey, Michelle, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. So, Michelle, tell me what you know about Orange is the New Black. Like, where are you? You watched season one, and where are you in season two?
I am so confused. Let me just start with that. I finished season one way back when it first came on, and then when season two came on, I started watching season two, and then you and I started talking about doing the podcast, so I went back and watched season one with one of my daughters, so we finished season one again, and then I think I'm up to like the last four. I've got like four more in season two that I've not seen, so I haven't finished season two completely. Have you?
Yeah, I've watched it all.
Okay. Well, I haven't, so I know that there's stuff coming up because, you know, I'm actually kind of avoiding a couple of the Facebook pages and stuff like that at this point until I do get it finished.
So what do you know about the show? What do you know about Piper, and what do you think about it so far before we get into this particular episode?
Well, I love the show. I've started reading the book, but I haven't finished it. I actually just started a little bit ago, and the story is interesting to me. I really liked it the first season, and so far, I really like this season of it, too. I know you had touched upon in one of the podcasts we were talking about that maybe the second season, they've kind of veered out of reality a little bit.
Didn't they veer out of reality? They've ended, you know, they've pretty much told her story.
Did they finish it? They didn't finish it with season one, though, did they?
No.
Okay. Do you know what part of season two was like the end of the story, or you don't know?
Well, I mean, Piper's in the whole thing of season two. I don't think that, you know, we're starting to get into that specific spoiler stuff, but.
Oh, okay. You know, okay, well then don't answer.
At the end of season two, Piper still has 8 months left in prison. So.
Right.
She's still a part of the cast and she's still a part of the show.
Okay.
So basically what I was trying to get from you is like Piper's this woman who's sentenced to 15 months in the woman's federal prison for moving drug money around for a girlfriend that she was in a lesbian relationship with, Alex. Her girlfriend, I guess, was a drug mule for some big drug dealer, international drug dealer.
Right.
And Piper did it like one time. Or, you know, we think she did it only one time, and it happened a long time ago. It was like 10 years ago, before season one. So this all kind of fell back onto Piper, and she was kind of a dupe in this case, and she was just a mule, and just she was doing it because she was in this relationship with Alex, the other girlfriend.
Right. She was doing her a favor. She was just trying to make her life easier because Alex really needed her to do something, to do that for her, and so she did it. And the statute of limitations was up in 12 years, and she got convicted of it at 10 years after the fact. So,
yeah, and so Piper's like an upper middle class girl too. She's from a rich upper middle class family in New York. So she's not like some sleazy drug chick. She's like, she pretty much did this because Alex manipulated her. Alex made her feel needed and wanted and got her to do this.
Well, and we should also point out that she pretty much had her life, what most people would consider together, when this happened to her, when she became accountable for what she had done 10 years prior. She was really young at the time, and then she got convicted of this crime so many years after the fact, and she was in a relationship, and she really kind of had herself together at that point, and it just tore everything apart.
Yeah, and she's like, what, 30, young, 31, 32 or something, so this happened when she was in her 20s.
Right. Actually, though, the real Piper Kerman, isn't that her last name? She is, I don't know when it happened. I don't know if it happened at that age, you know? Do you know?
No, but I mean, we're talking about the show. So, okay. I mean, they gave her birthday somewhere. I'm looking through my notes. That crazy girl who wants all her horoscope info.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but
yeah, she was. Yeah, she said she was born in 81, is what she said, and but that's not when the real Piper was born. So anyway, I didn't know if it actually happened at that age with her or not. So
yeah, anyway. June 7th, 1981. So she's 34, 33. I'm sure the real. I mean, what? How much different is the real Piper?
Well, the real Piper now, she's close to my age, maybe a couple years younger than me. So she's in her mid-40s and somewhere around in there, if I remember right. So okay. I didn't know if it had happened that many years ago. I just wasn't sure how that was, but maybe I'll try.
Probably. She's probably, I mean, she didn't do it. She didn't, the real Piper didn't do it as a 30-year-old. I'm sure she did it as a 20-year-old, sat on the story for 10 years or took her a while to write it. You know, I'm sure she's representing what age she was in the story.
That would make sense.
So anyway, all that brings us to Piper now. She's in the SHU, I guess this is what, the Solitary Housing Unit? That uh-huh. stands for something.
Yeah,
for beating up Pennsylvania, another character in the show, at the end of season one. She beats up Pennsylvania outside in the yard and beats her up really bad. And we don't know the status of Pennsylvania, even to the point of... She might have killed her. Piper doesn't know. And so she's in solitary because of this, and that's where this season two, episode one, Thirsty Bird starts.
Right.
So Michelle, do you see this show as a comedy?
Maybe a black comedy, yeah. Kind of. It definitely has parts that are funny. So I look at it more as like a black comedy drama, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting personal, like personal psychology show. Like all the gestures and personal connections, like every gift, whether it's a candy bar or an Uno game, it's a personal gesture. It's like a little window into the people either giving or getting the gift, and it's kind of stamped with this framework of prison around it. So it's either enhanced by that or limited by that. I'm not quite sure, but it's that puts into a really sharp focus, I think, like what people do in prison to survive and how they make relationships and form relationships. And it examines their needs really intensely.
Well, I think that's part of what's so interesting about this to me personally is because it's almost like we're looking at a different world with different rules and different currencies and everything that makes up the societies in the world. And so that's the kind of thing that really sucks me in with this. I find myself getting ridiculously angry at characters in this because it's just a TV show, and I find myself just getting, it draws up some emotion.
So Chapman's in the SHU, this solitary unit, and this is a pretty dreaded thing in their environment, right? The women hate this SHU, this solitary unit.
Well, they've shown it in season one a couple times, and how horrible it is. The food with a moldy bologna. They showed her pick up a piece of bologna and it had like hunks of mold on it and stuff. And the other food she'd try to eat and she had to spit it out. And aside from just the isolation of it, but that as well, it just looked horrible.
Yeah. So did you watch did you watch season one, episode 13 to prime yourself for this, or did you just jump right into it?
I watched the whole of season one.
Oh, right before you did the season two episode one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the Piper's in there and there's a big yellow spot on the wall and the guard, Piper says it's artistic. It looks like some egg yolk thing or some gross food thing, but
mm-hmm.
The guard says it looks like the Angry Birds. So that's another cool thing about the show. It's very contemporary. It's tuned into what we're, you know, what we see right now in life.
Right.
I mean, Piper... 15, 20 years ago, there were no Angry Birds, you know, and I like how they do that. They modernize it, and it's very contemporary.
Right.
We see things that we see in our real life.
Yeah, she's evidently been drawing on the wall with her food because, like we just talked about, it's probably not very edible. And she's trying to make art
yeah.
out of her food on the wall.
So the guard calls an angry bird, and the title of the show is Thirsty Bird. How did you get Thirsty Bird from the...
Well, because she said that it's a yellow warbler drinking out of a daffodil. That's what she's saying it is. And the little bird just can't get enough. The bird can't get enough of drinking from this daffodil. So she calls it Thirsty Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Another impression I get from the show is just like the general fuckery of people. Like these guards are just assholes. They ignore Piper. Okay, so Piper's on the move. She's getting moved out of the SHU in her prison in Litchfield, New York, where she, you know, that's where she's always been, to some other location in the middle of the night, and they don't tell her why or what. One other thing before we get into that. She was writing some stuff. She had a bunch of written notes. What do you think she was writing?
She had, I don't know,
written yeah. papers all over the place.
I saw that on the floor around her cot and stuff. I don't know.
You think Piper Kiernan or Kierman was writing her story during the time she was in jail?
I don't know. I would. Why not? Sure.
Probably. Maybe. We could probably find that out pretty easily.
Yeah.
But the guards are moving her, and they don't. And she asks a bunch of times, "Where are you taking me? What is this? What's going on? Please just tell me." And they just ignore her, and they talk. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and well, we have to understand too that she didn't know what happened. She didn't know if she has killed this Pennsylvania girl, and she doesn't know what's going on. They won't tell her. They won't give her any information at all. So she is, you can see the terror in her face, and so she's terrified. She doesn't know if maybe she had hurt the girl, and now the girl has died, and so maybe they're transferring her to, see, you know, something. She is actually thinking, I think they bring up at one point that they're putting her away for what she did.
Yeah.
And they won't tell her anything.
But
and
it's
not
also,
only will they not tell her, but they're just ugly about it.
It's also just the general fuckery. Like I said, that, like I'm like that. If I'm going somewhere in a car trip with somebody that I haven't been before, I want to know like where we're going, where we are now, how long it's going to take us, the route, all that stuff. How, you know, what are we going to see along the way? I hate not knowing that. Just besides all the worrying about whether she killed a person, just knowing where you are and where you're going to be and what's going on.
Right.
I can totally buy into that.
Yeah, me too.
But they don't give her a hint of anything. And to the point of even like they're talking about Mila Kunis and her ass or something. And just totally like she's not even there in the van or in the room with them. This boy talk, jock talk stuff.
Yeah. And they just show her sitting there just terrified, like with tears in her eyes. And she's like shaking. And everybody she meets, she's just, please, can you just please tell me where I'm going?
No. Yeah. So we start to see some flashbacks. Were there that I don't remember this many flashbacks in season one.
No, I don't either. And I really kind of like them. Of course, you and I have talked about this on many different shows, but I think they really give good insight to what's going on.
So one of the flashbacks is Piper is a little girl on her school bus, and the one of the rituals, I guess, in the school that she goes to is one day of the year they all jump, open the back emergency door and jump out the back of the bus for fun. But Piper can't do it because it's an unnecessary risk. So we learn a little bit about her as a little girl. She was even very conservative and not willing to do the scofflawry thing of jumping out the back of the bus.
Right.
Because it was risky and dangerous.
Right, and even the bus driver comes up and asks her why she didn't do it. I mean, even he's kind of in on it. He's like, I slowed down to 5 miles an hour. It's what you do. It's evidently like the last day before Christmas vacation. So yeah. It's just a tradition with what the kids do, and she couldn't do it.
So she and about two or three other kids don't do it, and like the rest of the bus does it. But so Piper's on the bus in real life, or actually on the van, I guess, in real life, from the prison.
Yeah.
And
well, she was in the van. Then they took her to the bus. And I think that when she's flashing back, she flashes back to her bus because she's in the bus.
Her school bus. Yeah. So yeah. Back to real life in the prison van. We see who I think is Gretchen from Breaking Bad, right? She was really haggard looking. and she's teaching Piper, telling Piper how to make pee pads. When you have to pee, you make pee pads by putting some female products together, and you can just pee in your pants and everything's cool.
Yeah, and she doesn't understand why Piper didn't kind of get the memo on that. And, of course, Piper's been in SHU. No one's spoken to her, we find out later, for like 3 weeks. So,
yeah. So that was Gretchen, right? That was the woman. I don't know her name and her real actor name, but looked like her.
I did not catch that. It very well may have been because I knew her from somewhere, or I thought I did, but I wasn't sure. I'm actually sitting here looking at her right now, and it looks, but gosh, the makeup they've done on her. Oh, wow.
So maybe. She even demos the pee pad for Piper, like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
And then somehow we get from a van to a bigger bus with more prisoners, and then the bus goes to the airport, and we see this one chick as they're transferring between bus and airport, or van and bus. This chick has a razor blade in her mouth. Mm-hmm. And I got this. And so they search everyone at every transition point between van and bus, bus and airport. I got a perspective on the crappy plight of the guards. It's got to be a shitty job to be a guard. This woman has a blade in her mouth and she won't open her mouth. They finally get it from her. And then she just spits in this guard's face. And it kind of explained to me like how guards can become such dicks. Like, they just hate these people, these prisoners, because the prisoners don't give them any respect.
Yeah, some girlfriends of mine and I were talking about this because we were saying, wouldn't it be neat to be able to go into a place like that and make a difference and be somebody who could make a real positive difference in these people's lives? And then one of the girls said, you know, maybe not, because maybe it would just harden you to the way things are, kind of like what you just brought up. And so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think if you're wallowing in mud, everybody gets muddy and dirty. It's like they're, you know, obviously the prisoners aren't going to have the greatest attitude, but you can see how the guards wouldn't have a very good attitude either, dealing with that crap all the time. How'd you like to go to a place where you work where somebody could spit in your face, and then you have to put a mask over their face and make them miserable, and just, it's just hell.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be good for anybody involved. It seems like it's kind of rough.
So we see the Con Air, the girl version of Con Air, as they get on this airplane, and Piper has to pee really badly, so this guard gives her a little compassion and lets her pee, but with the door open.
Well, there is no door, yeah. There's not even a door on this plane. That
on the
shut.
Bathroom, yeah.
Yeah.
And another guard comes up and talks to him about something, and Piper's just peeing. But not fast enough for the guard, and he asks her to pee a little faster.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a little bit of compassion, you know. We saw the guard letting Piper do that. He didn't have to, probably.
Well, that wasn't a guard, was it? That was an air marshal.
Well, yeah, but on the
segment, I think
segment
that's kind of different, though, isn't it? Though, I pictured these guys being, they weren't COs, they weren't correctional officers. These are air marshals, and I just thought that might be different, but I don't know.
Yeah, but he was guarding her while she was on the plane.
Right.
So
right.
That was nice. And then also on the plane, one girl was afraid of flying, and the other girl next to prisoner was afraid of flying, and her prisoner next to her was a little compassionate.
Yeah.
You know, trying to help her feel a little bit more comfortable. Like, this is normal, that little sound, don't worry about that. And then we saw the earwax lip gloss scene.
No, it was Vaseline.
Oh, I thought it was earwax.
No.
She had Vaseline in her ear?
Yeah, she put a glob of Vaseline in her ear, is what she said, because someone else had said they had been on a flight and their whole face cracked open or whatever before they got there. It was so dry. So they had told her to put a glob of Vaseline in her ear, and then she asks Piper if she wants some Vaseline from her ear.
And the girl with the mask, after spitting, wants Piper to get the Vaseline from the other girl's ear, reach across and put it on her lips. And Piper just kind of says, think about that now. You want me to take Vaseline out of her ear, reach across the aisle, and put it on your lips, which are behind a mask.
and not get caught.
Pretty ridiculous.
Right.
And then so Piper, I guess Piper's talking to somebody in her on the plane or whatever, but she talks about her crime with Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, she goes into it. That girl's character's name is Lolly on here, and she goes into it with Lolly about what happened, and we find out how tormented she really is over what happened and the fact that she doesn't know. She doesn't know anything about Pennsylvania and what happened with her, and no one will tell her. And so now she doesn't know where she's going, and she's freaking out because she's assuming the worst.
Yeah, Piper's worried about what happened to the... She's probably worried about Pennsylvania, but also worried about her and what results of killing somebody might be in her and her sentence and all that.
Oh, well, yeah. I would think that would add to your sentence maybe a little bit.
So then we see another flashback, and Piper's going to the movies, the movie Dazed and Confused. But she can't get in because it's rated R, but somebody gets tickets for them.
Right. Yeah, they pay some older kid, it looks like, to buy them some tickets.
And this is stretching Piper's conservative view of, like, doing something wrong again. Do you think all that about Pennsylvania and Piper, they're showing her flashback to her being a kid? Do you think she was afraid of her evil capabilities than what might have actually happened to, like, Pennsylvania? Like, do you think Piper was more worried, like, I could be a murderer? Even more worried than what repercussions might be to her sentence?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably she was. I think the flashbacks was our way of seeing that she always tried so hard to be so good and really toe the line and really be the good girl, and how far she had come, even though she didn't want to with the drug money. She didn't want to. It showed us that real dramatically. She did not want to do that, but she did it. And it even goes back to all this other stuff. She didn't want to jump off the bus because it was an unnecessary risk. She didn't want to go into the movie theater because what if they're showing something that we shouldn't see that will scar us or whatever? So I think she's just showing that she has always been so careful, and still she's ended up where she is. And I think it was season one where the female guard, she's talking to the female guard, and the female guard makes some comment about, we're not different. You've just gotten caught at doing something. Or something to that effect. And so I think it just shows that she's always been so careful, and yet now she's really in a place. And if anybody watched, which I'm sure everybody did, season one, people were cheering when Piper finally stood up for herself against Pennsylvania. She tried to end that again and again and again and handle that as nicely as she could. And Pennsylvania was not having it. Pennsylvania was coming after her to kill her. That was what she felt like her mission from God was. And so I guess it just shows that you can get yourself into these kind of situations, or she could get herself in those kind of situations, even doing her best to not get in those situations and being that kind of person.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty interesting angle that Piper sees herself in a dark way, like, I maybe this person I never thought I could be, a murderer. It's pretty interesting. But back in the flashback, while Piper's waiting for the movies or on the street in front of the movie theater, she sees her father with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that we'll see plays out a little bit farther into the episode. But back to real time, the plane lands somewhere. I couldn't figure out where, but somewhere between, they take off in New York and they end up in Chicago, but they stop somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if they let us know that.
Somewhere in between New York and Chicago. And they pick up some male prisoners to go on the plane with all the female prisoners. And Piper is renamed First Class by one of the dudes that they pick up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool nickname, I thought.
That was pretty good, yeah.
So then they try to figure out where they are going. They're going, and one woman points out the Midwest mountains, which there are not really very many of. And another woman points out, maybe Vegas, baby. Maybe we're going to Vegas on this plane. But for the most part, they figure out they're going to be not in the mountains or not in Vegas, because probably they have to know that by the length of the flight, right? You think they can do that math? New York, you can get from New York to Chicago in like an hour and a half, 2 hours at the most.
Well, I mean, you know, you would think there again, we don't know how far they went. I mean, for all we know, they could have went to Texas to pick up the guys. They don't tell us. We know it's far enough that Piper's fallen asleep, and so has, of course, the other girl, the scared flyer girl, fell asleep as soon as the engines turned on. But we don't really know where they went. We know that they end up in Chicago, but we don't know where they went to pick up the guys. So it could have been anything.
Yeah, I guess. I kind of pictured it was like
in between.
Yeah, like Ohio or Pennsylvania or something.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily look at it like that. I mean, I looked at it like, okay, we've got to get these prisoners to Chicago. But yeah, I guess it would make sense that it would be someplace along the way.
I guess I could buy into somewhere south, like Florida or Atlanta or something, but probably not west. Like, they wouldn't fly to Salt Lake City and then back to Chicago. I guess they could, though. I don't know.
I don't either.
But some woman makes the observation about the Midwest being plains, corn, and white people who don't vote in their best interest.
Yeah, that was one of the men. That was one of the men who said that. That was pretty funny. Yeah, that's kind of like you were talking about it being a comedy. I mean, that was hilarious.
Yeah. So when they're in Chicago, they get off the plane. And if you listen to the Forrest Julia podcast, you'll see some of the things I was talking about, Michelle from Tennessee. The Chicago River, where they do those architectural tours, and they actually drive down Michigan Avenue. It's probably not a very realistic route for taking a plane to Chicago and then taking a bus of prisoners to wherever they had to go. But it showed a lot of Chicago. That's probably why they did it.
Yeah, I did notice that. A lot of the stereotypical things that you think about when you think about Chicago is pretty neat. Beautiful.
So Piper's processed at this new location, and so, Michelle, the nurse, the ex-nurse, how toxic is urine? They're getting urine samples, and some look like they give a couple drops, and some give like a full beaker. But it's labeled as toxic. How toxic is urine? It can't be that bad, is it?
It's body fluid. You know, a lot of people, there's a huge controversy over that. People say that urine is sterile. And it is sterile. My understanding is it's sterile to the person that's off-putting the urine. So I wouldn't think, I don't know. The answer is, I don't really know. But I do know it's body fluid, and I do know that if you have something in urine, it can be transferred. So I would guess, I mean, it's a body fluid, right?
Well,
I think that.
I know that, like, in California, if somebody pees into a bottle and leaves it on the side of the road, they have to call in hazmat to get rid of it.
Who? They do what?
If somebody, like, if you're in your car and you pee in a Coke bottle and leave it on the side of the road, if they find it, they call in hazmat to get rid of it. They don't just dump it on the ground and throw the bottle away.
Well, I don't really know much about it, honestly, as far as that goes. But I do, I mean, it's a body fluid, and it's, I mean, I don't know.
That's something guys probably do more than women, I guess.
I don't think women are peeing in the bottles a lot.
Yeah, that's a tough shot.
I would think. Mm-hmm.
Females are with males in lockup in this Chicago facility. That was kind of odd, I thought. They're walking around in the same general space.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of odd, too. I didn't think they did that, but I don't know.
And the guards there are the same. They're definitely not information officers. Piper wants to know if she's been resentenced. She's still trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And this has to be, looks like probably the morning, the next day. So it's several hours of just not knowing what the hell's going on, and she's on two flights and far away from where she started.
Well, no. Right. And they've processed her in. See, they're doing the fingerprint. They give her the uniform and everything. I thought they had moved her. And she, I would imagine, thought the same thing. I mean, she was just suddenly woken up in the middle of the night and taken someplace, and she's processed in, even down to the strip search.
Yeah. So at this new place, Piper meets this cosmic voodoo girl who needs to know when Piper was born and exact time so she can determine her sex compatibility, I guess.
I guess. But first, when Piper first walks into the room, she steps on Yoda.
The roach,
She steps on the cigarette-carrying cockroach, trained cockroach. And they're very upset with her over that.
Yeah. So sometime later in the show, here's where I see my notes of Piper's birthday. It's June 7th, 1981, but she wasn't sure what time. So, Michelle, do you know what time you were born and what day of the week you were born?
I don't know the day of the week. I know the rough time as told by my mother. Sure. Do you?
I don't know what time you were born.
No. Do you know what time you were born?
Yeah, I was born at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
That's pretty neat.
I didn't want to inconvenience anyone.
Well, that was kind of you. I was born at 10 o'clock at night, so anytime anybody aggravates me about, oh, you're this many years old, I'm like, not till 10 o'clock. Catch me at 10. You know.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of enjoyed that.
So the stuff that starts to happen next, if you don't want to get spoiled, you probably should stop listening, because we start to see some things that kind of tie us into the back episodes. But I don't know. I don't know why you'd listen to a podcast of Orange is the New Black and not want to listen about what happened. But Piper calls Larry for help, and Larry's her ex-fiancé at this point, right? Is he still her fiancé?
No, he is not still her fiancé.
Okay, and Larry's dad is Piper's lawyer. So Piper wants Larry to call his dad to help her to figure out what's going on.
Right.
I'm in Chicago. Get me out of here. You know, just figure out. So.
And she has to leave him a message, too.
Yeah.
He didn't even answer. Which, I mean, that's, you know, why would he? I mean, he could have been whatever, but.
And so to add to Piper's woes of being in this new place where she doesn't know why and how long. She has to replace this roach that she stepped on. And the women are like, one woman's sitting on the toilet and singing and kind of giving her the rules. And it's just horrible. God, not knowing is bad enough, but to have all this other crap going on around you.
Yeah, and she has to, like, keep her composure and keep herself cool and calm under those situations. And we see people day to day who can't keep themselves cool and calm behind the wheel of a car. And to be put in that kind of situation and have everything stripped away from you, down to and including your dignity, and put in this room with these people, using the bathroom, right? I mean, not even a pretense of privacy in that. And they're picking on her about stepping on the cockroach and telling her she got to get him another cockroach and really giving her a hard time. And how hard that would be.
Yeah, get on the floor, make like a blonde crumb, and catch a roach.
Yeah, so it's not just the picking on by the people in authority. It's the picking on by the other prisoners. And then the crazy, obsessive sexual advances by the girl that wants to know her birth time. And Piper did know her birth time. But the other girl warned her not to tell her. Remember, the girl asked her, and the other girl in the room, like, you know, Piper looked over and she's shaking her head no, like, don't tell her that.
So we see another flashback, and Piper confesses to her mom that she saw her dad cheating or kissing another woman while she was at the movie. But the mom ignores it and instead criticizes Piper for sneaking off to an R-rated movie.
criticizes her and her friends. Yeah, she doesn't want her hanging out with those friends, which Piper does have some kind of, you know, you kind of got to kind of question some of these friendships she's had. But
yeah, but Piper's relationship with her mom doesn't have too much. I mean, I don't see the connection too directly as to why she's in prison, really. That was really her adult decision. I mean, her life, her adult life is pretty together, except for this one time that she fucked up.
Oh, I don't think it's about her mom. I think her and her mom definitely have a not close kind of, you know, the kind of relationship. I don't think any of us envy Piper's relationship with her mother, but I don't think it had anything to do with her going to prison. But that scene, I think, was really important because her dad lies, and her mother ignores the lies. I mean, not the lie, but the lies, but also ignores the truth of what she's been told. And I think that kind of stuff with kids, I think it kind of, you know, writes on their slate. And I think Piper learns a lot, because we see her a little bit later on having a conversation with her grandmother, and she's kind of saying she doesn't understand what's going on with this. And her grandmother kind of says it's just kind of the way it is. And so I think that kind of stuff, I'm not blaming her mother or her father, but I do think we have to be careful the kind of things that we tell kids that are okay or not.
Yeah, I was just trying to connect it to her situation now. And I didn't make a direct connection. But I'm sure it had some, I mean, everything that happens to us has some connection, I guess, in our adult lives.
Right.
So back in prison, Piper is actually hunting roaches because she's got to comply with these prisoners, I guess. I don't know the symbolism in that, that she's kind of degraded and debased by these, by some prisoners. But then we see her playing penguins with other prisoners that are more friendly to her.
Yeah, but I don't think she wanted to. She didn't want to. She just, they kind of called her over and she reluctantly went. I mean, what's she going to do? Just tell them no?
But the wasn't playing penguins, wasn't that nice to put her in the middle where it's warm, or is that just making fun of her?
No, I don't think they were making fun of her. I didn't take it as being particularly nice. I took it more as they're kind of closing in on her. You know, they're encircling her, and maybe they're doing it to give her a little warmth, or maybe they're doing it to find out what they can about her and who she is, or maybe it's their intimidation way, or I don't know. I didn't take it. I mean, I guess you could take it as being nice. I think, I don't know.
It's a power thing. Like, we're going to wrestle you into our group and make you one of our group.
Well, right. And even encapsulate her. I mean, they were completely surrounding her, and how uncomfortable would that be? If you didn't know people and they came up and stood around you. I mean, even if it's cold, we found out that she's only going to be outside for an hour a day. And the other 23 hours a day, except for meal times, she is locked in this room with these four other women and the toilet right there. So to go out in this courtyard, even if it's cold, seems like it would be much better to go out there and put on the coat and the hat.
Well, even if you're with three people that you really liked, you would want to still go out and see the outside.
Right, right, you would. But to have them kind of surround her like that, I don't know. I mean, it was cold, so maybe. I didn't think about it being nice, but that's a good point.
So Piper sees Alex, her ex-girlfriend, in the same prison in Chicago, and is immediately tempted to try to go communicate with her to probably to figure out what's going on. And I don't know when the last time she saw Alex was.
She saw her right before she went to SHU when her and Pennsylvania had the fight.
Yeah, okay.
So it's only been like 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I think, is what we end up finding out later on.
So the guy that starts calling Piper first class, Piper asks him to help her get a note to Alex, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And his payment is that she doesn't know what he's going to demand for payment, so she starts offering a few things. And he says, no, 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 but what he wants is her 4-day-old panties.
Yeah. Yeah. He says he wants her panties, and she says, well, they haven't issued us new panties. I've had these on for 4 days. And he's like, well, that's even better.
So, Michelle, as I was writing this note down, it rang a bell to me that we've talked about this before, but I couldn't remember what before. It was funny. In another podcast of some kind.
We've talked about this?
Yeah, but not about Piper and her panties, but about people trading panties for favors. But she does it and gets the note to Alex, I guess. So she's back in her cell next, and we see the psycho astrologist cornering her again.
Yeah, she's like laying on top of her in her bed. She wakes Piper up by smothering her, crawling on top of her.
And she's trying to put the facts together, like there's something askew in these dates and times you're giving me. And I don't know, this girl's just really creepy.
And she ends up licking her forehead.
Well, that's not that creepy.
That's a little creepy. It's a little creepy.
So then Piper sees Alex, and she still thinks she's killed Pennsylvania, but she finds out that she's there to testify at a trial, the trial of the guy that Alex was muling the drugs for way back.
Yeah, Kubra. This is right. This is the part I don't buy. I don't buy this. I think that you would know why you're going there. I don't imagine that you'd go to testify against somebody and not even know why you're there. Do you?
Well, maybe they didn't tell her yet. They obviously have to tell her at some point. You think they have to tell you before you leave?
I don't know that they have to do anything, but I would think they would tell you before you leave. I would think they would go over what you know before they take you on a trip like that.
Maybe the special prosecutor in Chicago wants to see her. I don't know. I mean, maybe they don't want her to think about it. Maybe they want to catch her first response. There's probably a reason, you know, why they did that.
Okay. I just would think that they would want to hear your story, which we hadn't heard her story. I mean, not in detail about what was going on.
So the prosecutor would want to know if she's a friendly witness or an unfriendly witness to his case, you mean?
Well, I don't know enough about it, honestly, to talk intelligently about it, but I would guess that a prosecution would want to know if you're going to be a hostile witness or a complying witness, and also, you know, what you're going to say, wouldn't you think? Or no?
Well, like I said, I think maybe the prosecutor would want to see her untainted response.
Well, even if that's true, Alex taints the response because she lets Piper know why they're there.
Yeah, Alex knows why they're there. I don't know. Maybe Piper was just not. She's been in the shoe. Maybe she didn't have a chance to talk to her lawyer. The date came. It's like, go get her. We're on the way.
Yeah. I guess something like that.
Alex wasn't in the shoe. So Alex and Piper do meet in the prison through the one section of the prison to another. And Alex tells Piper why she's there. She's there. She didn't kill Pennsylvania, which Piper thought. She's not there for that, but she's there to testify against this Kubra guy.
And she's so relieved.
Did you think there would be a Piper and Alex reunion? Because they're on the outs, right? They're on the outs at this point.
I don't know. I don't know what I thought at that point. Yes, they're on the outs because Alex is mad at her. Alex wasn't even really speaking to her because Piper brings up in that scene that, oh, you're mad at me. Why are you talking to me? And Alex says, well, I guess, you know, you caught me at a good moment or something to that effect. So they're definitely on the outs at that point.
So Alex suggests that Piper lie to protect Kubra
from protect herself, too, is what she's saying, to protect all of them. Alex fears any retaliation.
Yeah, but in order to do that, she needs to protect Kubra from prosecution.
Right.
And then in the background, Piper sees a roach in Alex's side of the bars and wants it for Maybe that's a sign of how strong this intimidation is. Like, she's talking about something really important, and yet she wants that roach, even to the point of interrupting their conversation.
Well, yeah, and it also, I think, makes Alex question Piper's even sanity at that point. She said, I think the shoe really has messed you up. Because Piper said, I'm not crazy, or something like that. And then she's like, you have to get the Yoda, or whatever she called it. They've got all these names for these cockroaches, so.
Yeah. Alex is just a bitch, though. She's totally manipulating Piper. I hate Alex, man, in this show. So then we go to another flashback of the one you were alluding to earlier with Grandma. I guess that's right. The mom's mom, Piper's mother's mom.
I think so, yeah.
And so Piper reveals to Grandma that she saw Dad and the cheater, and how she got grounded, how Piper got in trouble for just telling her mom about that. And Grandma's advice is sitting on info and living with secrets is something that people have to learn how to do.
Right, right. That's kind of what I was bringing up. The grandma said sometimes it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's about, like, making a choice that causes the least amount of pain to somebody else. And I thought it was neat how they flashed to that there when they had just gotten off the conversation of telling the truth or not telling the truth.
As an adult, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Piper's crazy brother runs in and says he set his room on fire, and that's the end of that scene.
Yeah.
I love Piper's brother, by the way. Love that character.
He's kind of a slobby looking guy with a lumberjack sweater and unkempt hair, and
it was neat to see him as a kid who set his room on fire.
So Piper meets her lawyer, who is Larry's dad, and she's loving that Dunkin' Donuts coffee that he gives her.
Well, who doesn't?
Well, that gives you another perspective, I think, of what prison's like. You just have crap food, crap coffee, and she's getting just a plain old Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and she's just like,
she's savoring,
dissolving in it. Yeah, she loves it. And Piper's worried about testifying, and she gets the advice from the lawyer not to lie. That Cooper's going away for a long time.
Well, yeah, and she asked him if it's safe. She asked about her safety. And
he still
tells her to tell the truth.
Wouldn't you think Piper would know more about her own safety, though, than that lawyer? I mean, Piper sees the day-to-day stuff that's going on around her.
Yeah, I would think she would. I think she was just bringing it up.
She was just worried about Cooper's reach and it being able to get her if she testified against him.
Well, and they keep telling us he's the real deal. They tell us that many times. This guy's the real deal, and this is a dangerous, potentially dangerous situation. So, and then she, like, references The Sopranos. You know, she's like, these guys don't like snitches from what she's seen on The Sopranos or something like that.
Yeah. You know,
I'm sorry, I'm just going to say, the attorney tells her lying just isn't even an option. And then Piper asks him if he's the one, if he's always told the truth. And he says, except for something, some little something. And, you know, she goes into it was never a priority in her family, telling the truth, so.
Like telling her mom the truth and getting in trouble.
Right. And even her grandma, like we just said, kind of backed it up. It's not about right and wrong. It's just about what's going to cause the least amount of pain. And I don't know.
So back in the cell, Piper's showing the roach that she caught when she was with Alex. And they measure it and it doesn't measure up to replace Yoda.
And she finally gets fed up with it and kind of tells them off.
Well, we find out that Piper has a rep now from Litchfield as the killer of, so-called killer of Pensatucky.
Right.
And she's one. She's got a rating of one, and the other chica in there has 13 eye drops or whatever, tear drops. What did she have that measured 13?
She had something on her arm.
Tattoos.
Like 13 tattoos of something. I don't know what they were, but on her arm, yeah.
Yeah, but Piper didn't measure up to her, but I'm sure Piper, if they thought she had won, put her in a pretty elevated status among the other girls in there. Not all of them are in there for murder. even if it's a misinterpretation.
Okay, it's broken hearts, I think, is what she has tattooed on her arm. I just went and looked. But I don't know if it'd be elevated status, but certainly a who to fear and who not to fear. So,
yeah, that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah, that she could definitely be dangerous.
So then Piper and Alex are in the van going to court, and she does convince her to lie. Piper makes the worst decisions when she's with Alex.
She didn't convince her. Yes, she does, but she didn't convince her to lie. Piper tells Alex she's going to tell the truth. She has to tell the truth. She didn't convince her. They actually have her on the stand in the very next scene, and the door opens right there, you know, off to the side, and she sees Alex sitting there, and I think we're supposed to presume that's when she decided to lie, because I think she's afraid something will happen to Alex, too, if she doesn't tell the truth. Yeah, Alex tries to talk her into it, and she's having none of it.
Yeah, I saw that as all kind of a process, like the first meeting and then the van and then seeing Alex was all kind of added up to convince her to lie.
Well, maybe, and I'm sure she is having some second thoughts, but she is telling Alex in the van the whole way that she has to do this. She has to do the right thing with this.
Well, Alex was definitely working on her. So in court, Piper doesn't really lie. She defers to not telling the truth. She says she doesn't remember, or she was like, did you do this? Well, I was more worried about being with Alex. Like, she answers and half answers.
Well, right. And she never said she didn't or she did. She would just say, not that I recall, or I don't recall, or.
Yeah. So she tempered her. She kind of picked a middle ground that she thought would probably comply with her need to be honest with Alex's need to be protected and all that. And she makes a middle, kind of a middle statement, non-statement.
Yeah, and she's going on, too, about her relationship with Alex. And you kind of get the feeling of how important that was to her. Her relationship with him. And, of course, his name's Kubra, right?
Yeah, Kubra Bolick or something like that.
Yeah, he's looking very happy with her testimony.
Right.
But we see dad also, is not.
Also in the court, we see that Alex was Kubra's best carrier. She went to Brussels, Paris, and Bali and everywhere. Probably doing all kinds of illicit stuff for this guy, Kubra. What kind of drugs were they? Do you remember? Or what was she carrying? Oh, she was carrying cash, right?
Yeah, Piper carried money. I don't know. I don't remember about the drugs. And I'm sure they probably told us, but it almost seems like secondary to, you know, the process.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter much. So the lawyer, Larry's dad, is really disappointed, and he just kind of says good luck and goodbye to Piper. Yeah.
What about that little tiny cage they have her in out there? I know it's opened up. But dang, that thing has me just claustrophobic. It's like, what, 4 foot by 6 foot or something? 3 foot by 5 foot. It's teeny. It's like she's literally in a cage.
That's probably how they do it.
It's horrible.
No lounge with Dunkin' Donuts coffee, that's for sure.
It's not.
So we go back to another flashback of the time. This time of this crime is like 2003 in the time frame of this story. And so Piper's at the pool with Kubra and Alex, and we see Piper calls her dad, and she lies to him. I'm in Paris. You know how. Polly is her friend. She's supposedly on a trip with Polly to do their business, or is it just for fun?
No, I think it's for fun. I think they're just supposed to be traveling.
Yeah. So we know Polly. Polly's her friend In my first episode of Orange is the New Black, I referred to her as her sister, but she's her friend. And they have a business, right? They have a business of scents or something? Candles or scents or something?
They did have a business. I thought it was lotions and stuff like that. Yeah, and that was the big deal in season one, was getting into Barney's. Skincare products or whatever that they had homemade.
Okay. And so
she all falls through.
Yeah, so she says to her dad, you know how Polly is overscheduling us. We're just a couple girls on vacation in Paris. But they didn't look like they were in Paris. They were in some pool in some Malaysian country, it looked like.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where they were, but I wasn't thinking Paris.
Well, yeah, so,
and it doesn't matter. She's not with Polly anyway. And her dad starts telling her, walk on the lit side of the street or whatever. He's like giving her all this advice, take a cab or whatever. And she goes, yes, daddy, I know. Walk on the lit side of the street. Do this. You know, you've taught me well. As she's just lying right through her teeth.
So who would be more, if you were Piper, Michelle, who would be more damaging in your remembrance at this point in your young life? Your father for cheating on your mother or your mother for writing it off and just saying, you shouldn't have gone to that movie? Like, who would you have hated more? Or who would you have, like, disliked more?
I think that we're supposed to dislike the mother more for tolerating it. I don't know that I would honestly feel that way. That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Well, I don't know. I guess the mother for being cowardly about standing up to the father, and then just for, like, why bitch at me for telling you the truth? You know, she's just trying to tell her mom what she saw, and her mom just, like, can't handle it and gets Piper in trouble.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, but her dad started the whole thing. I mean, he started the whole thing. And the conflict is there because of him. And the reason the mom reacts like that, we as adults can certainly see, is because this is not the first time she's heard this, more than likely. And it's not the first thing that he's done. The first time a woman would hear something like that would be traumatic and devastating. And then if you know that's the kind of person he is, then you either learn to live with it or you get out of it. And I think what we're supposed to see is that the mom has learned to live with it and learned to look the other way. So she doesn't appreciate having her eyes
opened,
diverted back toward that. Right. Because she's chosen to look the other way. And I think as an adult, you can see all that. But as a child, I think it turns your world upside down.
Yeah, the mom is definitely like the expert victim. She's a professional victim.
Right.
So back in real time, we see Alex leaving jail. I guess she did testify against Kubra and got off. She made some sort of deal.
And, I mean, this is just minutes. She was next in line. She was next in that room after Piper was in there.
Yeah.
So this isn't like 2 days have passed and she's had a chance to think about stuff. And so she decides to do it Piper's way or any of that. And I almost assumed that Alex could hear what Piper was saying. Do you think she could? I mean, she was right there. She was 10 feet away from her. There was a door, but she was 10 feet away.
Yeah, I think they probably made the deal with Alex, like the first one to testify against him, gets the free out of jail free card. So she told,
you think that's what it was?
So that's why she wanted Piper to not testify against him.
Okay.
I don't know. It's pretty, Alex is up to pretty crap, evil bullshit. So I wouldn't put that past Alex.
I wouldn't either.
But Alex gets out. Piper's still in. And we see all that. Alex is in her, you know, regular clothes now. And the scene ends with Piper seeing the roach, the cigarette on his back.
Right.
It ends. So that was it for the first episode in season two. Pretty good at tying you back into the wanting to know what happens next.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. Watching this with one of my grown, of course, daughters, I had seen farther along than she had when we watched this one together, but she was really disappointed. She thought, and I didn't even think about it that way, but she thought they weren't going to take her back to the other jail and we were going to have to relearn all these characters again. And she was like, oh, I'm just so disappointed now. I want to find out what's going on in the lives of Tasty and, the sister and everybody.
Red. So yeah.
She was really happy that we did go back.
Yeah, I like, we're going to see in these upcoming episodes, they do have a flashback just about every episode. And we kind of see the crimes that these women are in for and their younger lives and how their lives kind of evolved to the point that they got to as an adult.
Yeah, isn't that that I love that. It's really good how they do that. And they show the person behind this character, which I just love. Because you get to see, you don't just see the criminal. You see the person that they were and the events that led up to whatever right. bad happened in their lives.
Right.
Which makes them so much more interesting, the backstory.
So did you think at this point that was the last you would see of Alex? Getting processed out, not a prisoner anymore, just free to go?
I would have been surprised if that had been the last I had seen of Alex. But
at that point, I heard that Laura Prepon, who plays Alex, was contracted to do 4 episodes. So I knew she was going to be in like three other times. I think that's how it pretty much plays out, too.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, so she's in, I don't know, how many have you seen?
I think I have 4 more in this.
Well, so you saw her again, right?
Seen her again, yes.
Yeah. So that's it. What else? What else is there to say about episode 1?
I don't have a lot else.
Looks Blue, Taste Red is the next one. And
okay.
There are 13, right? 13 per season.
Is that
yeah.
helping? Okay.
13, 26 all told. So this is number 14 in season 2, episode 1. Of Orange is the New Black on West Coast Project. And you can find us on Facebook at West Coast Project or write to us at support@westcoastproject.com or just look at westcoastproject.com and you'll see all the links and stuff.
Yeah, tweet us.
Tweeter us at Scathing Tweets. Do you have a tweeter now, Michelle, from Tennessee?
I do. I have a Twitter now, Michelle from TN. I'd love it if people found me on there.
One guy likes you. He's like made you his buddy.
Yeah, I know. I made him my buddy back.
At my expense.
Well, you kind of deserve that, but okay.
Anyway, so that's it for this episode. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.